Welcome everyone to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. I have super exciting news to share before we dive in for the day. The From Anxiety to Love Masterclass is absolutely launching in October. I have a deadline on September 1st to get all of my content turned in to the people who are helping to set it up. It was due, I think, like 16 months ago, but with COVID, like there've been so many delays. So I've been working almost nonstop to get it done in time. And so it will be launching in mid-October. So I'll keep everybody up to speed about that. But I'm super excited that the masterclass will finally be happening, and I'll certainly make announcements. So that's why I sort of just flew into the call today, busy from one thing and sliding right in. So I'm looking forward to just taking a few minutes to pause and to just be together in silence. I will just mention before we start our meditation, we're reading part in this CE edition, page 1599. It's part 9, Are Changes Required in the Life Situation of God's Teachers? And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition in the manual, it's also part 9, and it's page 26 all the way in the back of the FIP edition. Again, part 9 in the manual, Are Changes Required in the Life Situation of God's Teachers? So we'll start there. And as I mentioned, let's begin with our meditation. I'm looking forward to this. So beginning with just taking a few deep, mindful breaths. And settling into this moment. As we draw our attention from without to within, recognizing that we're all coming together into the same space, the same space of awareness, that same quiet, still center that we all share. It's where we are joined. And connecting with your willingness to see differently, to loose the world from all we thought it was. And connecting with your willingness to allow miracle impulses to be expressed through you. As Jesus says in the Course, you will see miracles through your hands, through me. And the only thing this requires is for us to step out of the way. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. And taking a nice, mindful, deep breath in and out, knowing that Holy Spirit is closer than your next breath. And with that love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Mm. Well, there's so many more of you since I opened my eyes. Welcome, everyone. Okay, so we are reading part 9 in the Manual for Teachers, Are Changes Required in the Life Situation of God's Teachers. This is a 2-paragraph section, page 1599 in the purple book and page 26 in the manual in the blue book. So let's go ahead and dive in. Are changes required in the life situation of God's teachers? Changes are required in the minds of God's teachers. This may or may not involve changes in the external situation. Remember that no one is where he is by accident, and chance plays no part in God's plan. It is most unlikely that changes in his attitudes within his current situation would not be the first step in the newly made teacher of God's training. There is, however, no set pattern, since training is always highly individualized. There are those who are called upon to change their life situation almost immediately, but these are generally special cases. By far, the majority are given a slowly evolving training curriculum in which as many previous perceptual mistakes as possible are corrected. Relationships in particular must be properly perceived, and all dark cornerstones of unforgiveness removed. Otherwise, the old thought system still has a basis for return. So changes are required in the minds of all of us. This may or may not involve changes in our external circumstances. This third sentence, remember that no one is where he is by accident, and chance plays no part in God's plan. There is no accident that each and every one of us is here in this time, in this space, on this planet right now. As tough as the times have been that we are living in, there is no accident. I've said this before, that we're being squeezed. These are words from Freedom Cartwright. We're all being squeezed. And I just so resonate with that. We're being squeezed into finally being willing to ask for help, finally being willing to see that there's another way, finally being willing to step out of our egoic perception and open into something much greater. There is no accident that we are here right now. I know I've shared this actually multiple times in recent weeks, but I've been on warp speed lessons this summer and even before the summer began, where it's like, okay, healed that. Now here you go. Like another, like all major stuff. Let's bring it all forward and move through it all. And there's no accidents. We're all being called, whatever it is that each of us is facing, we are being called to heal and heal whatever it is, however it is we are being challenged. It's simply a mirror showing us, as it says, perceptual mistakes. As many previous perceptual mistakes as possible need to be corrected. So that's our lives. Our lives are orchestrated to give us opportunities for as many previous perceptual mistakes as possible to be corrected, to shed layers of the small s self, to shed layers of Corinne, to shed layers of our small identity. That's literally why everything is unfolding as it is unfolding in each of our individual lives. It says relationships in particular must be properly perceived and all dark cornerstones of unforgiveness removed. So again, whatever we are faced with, whatever we are challenged with, again, it's an opportunity for those dark cornerstones of unforgiveness to be seen and to be taken to the Holy Spirit for healing. I also think, I love this section. It's short and it's really powerful. The fifth sentence, there is no set pattern. Training is always highly individualized. And then it goes on to say, by far the majority are given a slowly evolving training program. And as I've said already, in which many previous perceptual mistakes as possible are corrected. It's absolutely been my journey that this has been a slowly evolving training program. I've not had, I don't think, any, you know, really drastic changes in my life situation, but I can just see looking back how it's been that slow evolution of correcting my perceptual errors, you know, through the Holy Spirit. And, how it can also be quite gentle, even though it can feel quite intense at times. Any comments or questions or insights about this first paragraph? There's lots of good nuggets in there. Let's keep reading. Paragraph number two. As the teacher of God advances in his training, he learns one lesson with increasing thoroughness. He does not make his own decisions. He asks his teacher for his answer, and it is this he follows as his guide for action. This becomes easier and easier as the teacher of God learns to give up his own judgment. The giving up of judgment, the obvious prerequisite for hearing God's voice, is usually a fairly slow process, not because it is difficult, but because it is apt to be perceived as personally insulting. The world's training is directed toward achieving a goal in direct opposition to that of our curriculum. The world trains for reliance on one's judgment as the criterion for maturity and strength. Our curriculum trains for the relinquishment of judgment as a necessary condition of salvation. And we'll get into the next section tonight, but we'll get into how is judgment relinquished. So the whole next section is all about this relinquishment of judgment. Because that judgment is in our way. It's giving up of judgment. It says the third sentence, the giving up of judgment, the obvious prerequisite for hearing God's voice. So if we feel that we're not hearing God's voice, if we feel like we don't get guidance, if we feel like we're just, you know, we're not hearing anything, start looking. Again, it's this, our job is about the finding of the blocks that we've put in between love and our awareness of love. We seek out those blocks and we give those blocks to Holy Spirit. So if we are not hearing God's voice, if we don't feel connected to guidance, start looking, where am I judging? What have I judged? Where am I judging? You know, if I'm asking a specific question for guidance, how am I already deciding, you know, what the outcome should be? Where am I judging? The more we own it without guilt, the more we look at it with the Holy Spirit, and be willing, you know, to hand it over, the clearer and clearer it's going to become. So it's almost like we don't have to do anything to hear that guidance. It's there. We just have to seek out and find those blocks and bring those, you know, those blocks to Spirit and relinquish that judgment. That's that constant stream of chatter that's serving the purpose of keeping God's voice out. And the happier we become, the more we listen to the Holy Spirit. As we allow the Holy Spirit to lead, the happier we become. You know, this is just random. This isn't even related to anything, so I don't even know why I'm saying this, but it was just the other day I checked in and I was like, I needed to run to the drive-through pharmacy to pick something up. And I check in now, like even before I leave the house, I'm like, is now a good time to go? Like, okay. And I just had this feeling, this vision of somebody going through the drive-thru to get a COVID test. And sure enough, like when I pulled up and pulled up to the window, I saw the woman at the counter, like putting the COVID test away from the car that was in front of me in the drive-thru. And it's just random. Like doesn't, you know, I was like, it didn't even feel like it meant anything. And yet what it did mean is that, I don't know, I felt like I was in the flow. I was listening. I was prompted to go. I had that sort of like knowing that the person in front of me was going to be doing a COVID test and it happened. So we can trust what comes in and check in before we make any decisions. random story, I know. Any comments or questions? It was verification. Yes, Andrea. Yeah. Oh, thank you for that. It was verification. That's what it was. Yes. And that actually is this whole section number 9. So we just read a section. Anybody want to comment, share an insight?
I'll comment.
John.
Well, I was just going to actually say, you know, how many people, myself especially, I should say, asked about every little judgment. And I make judgments all throughout the day without even realizing it, you know, and how often do we stop and ask, like you did, you know, just, oh, should I go to the pharmacy now? You know, it's like, okay, you know, not that I expect to hear an answer, but unless we keep asking, you know, we're going to be making judgments on our own. So, yeah. Not an easy thing to do. Piece of cake, though, right?
Well, it's, and you know, it's almost like I wasn't even asking it. Maybe I was asking for guidance. It was more like, does this feel right now? Like, you know, that's a lot of times when I ask, that's how I'm asking, like, does this feel right now? Does this feel right to do? And you're absolutely right, John, that we're judging all the time. Now, I gave you that little example. What I didn't tell you was like all the other times, like for instance, today there was some big event happening miles from my house at a raceway. There's like a car racetrack not far from here. And the constant undercurrent of this booming noise was like nails down a chalkboard for me. So you better believe I was judging. Like, I was very much in judgment, like for most of the day today. So I give, you know, these little examples here and there of the times being in my right mind, but to be transparent and completely honest, you know, I judge all the time also. And so it's a matter though of seeing it and owning it without guilt. And again, we don't have to self-correct. It's like, yeah, I didn't like that noise. And I still don't like that I had to listen to it all day. But what I did do was be willing in that moment. I was laying in my grass in my spot under my tree and practicing resting in God, like listening to that lesson and feeling my heart open and almost feeling myself sinking beneath the sound. Like there was still all that unpleasant, shrieking, raucous kind of like, you know, hum and booming happening, but I could feel myself just, you know, dropping beneath it, even though I still didn't like it. So everything becomes an opportunity, right? And I judge all the time too. So thank you, John. Keeping it real. Hi, Paula.
We're talking about Walls Stadium.
Oh, yes. You hear it too?
Oh,
you did.
Yeah.
I think most of the Jersey Shore heard it today.
I've been praying for years that that would somehow disappear, but now I've been working with the new beginning, the rules for decision, the way you, what kind of a day would you like to have, all of that. And I just thought it was so interesting because in one of the footnotes, it says clearly, you are not meant to dream up your ego's fantasy day. That would be to fall into the error of writing a script that reflects your plans for the day, for what the day should be. And I that just bored me because that's basically what I do. I just want my way. And I ask, when I ask the Holy Spirit and I don't get my way, I think it leads me to not ask so often. But ever since I read this, it's like, wait a minute. What would the Holy Spirit be saying about this situation that I'm not saying? You know, what kind of a day would the Holy Spirit want for me? It's just got me seeing this a little bit differently. And I think it's very helpful because I have been asking more now with a stronger faith that I'm going to get an answer that maybe I didn't dream up. Mm. I wish I could give you an example, but to be continued.
I love that, Paula. Wow. I love just that idea of getting an answer that you didn't dream up and you know, the possibilities that are there. And I love your honesty about, and what you said, you know, we want our way And so maybe I'm not going to ask for guidance so often. You know, maybe I'm not going to ask the Holy Spirit, because if it doesn't match what I want, well, then like, I don't want to ask. We all do that. Like that is,
yeah,
that's for all of us. And it's often mostly subconscious. So to be aware of that is fantastic. You know, to be able to see that clearly, because then that, what is that, but an opportunity to bring it up.
It really reminds me that I don't know. And that is such a big relief, really, when you come down to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It sure is. Thank you, Paula. That was
You're welcome.
Helpful insight. Cheryl, then Steve. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi. I was wondering if maybe you could relate. I've found that the more that I'm able to hear the guidance that I'm receiving, that I'm getting the sense that it was there all along. And maybe I wasn't asking before, but it was still there. And it wasn't until I started to get into this habit of always checking in, like how you said, it's not like I'm gonna like sit there in a fearful way going, oh, should I go? Because I could totally relate to what you were saying about going to the pharmacy, because I do the exact same thing. I'll be like, is this a good time? You know, and I'm like checking in, and it's not like I'm going, oh, is this, you know, like in a fearful way. I'm just checking in. So I get what you're saying. And I know that that was there all along, that, mm-hmm. and I didn't pay attention. Well, I would hear it, or I would feel it. I don't know what the proper term is. It would come through, but I didn't pay attention. And then after the fact, sometimes I would go, darn it, I knew that wasn't a good time to go, or something like that. Or even bigger things, you know, I'm just going off of your example. And one other thing. Oh, I lost my page. Oh, the part, I thought it was funny about the part where it says that it comes slowly because of the perceived personal insult. I thought that was funny, because maybe I'm grateful for my struggles that I've had, because for me, I feel like it's so not a personal insult for me. I'm like, yeah, the best way I'm going to have a great day is in the morning when I first wake up, and all throughout the day that I'm like, I'm giving this to you, God, just guide me, let my feet, you know, and follow, let my words be given to me. Excuse me. And, that's how I ensure the best day possible. And I don't know, I can't even express that enough, because I just feel like that's so big, you know. So absolutely not insulting in any way.
Cheryl, I love that. I don't want to interrupt you. I love so much that you just said that, because I relate to everything that you just said. And I really relate to that idea. And I've never really thought about that before, that it's actually not a personal insult for me either, because what happens when I'm in charge, like nothing good, nothing peaceful, nothing happy. Corinne taking over in her patterns would just be, you know, going down into the depths of anxiety. So it's not personally insulting to me, you know, to want to give up that control and learn how to hear God's voice. So I'm just all smiles with, you know, you having said that, because I relate so much. And I love how you said too, that the more that you're able to hear, the sense that you get that it was there all along. That's beautiful. And I relate to that. And just the image, as you were speaking, the image came forth of just like this current of love, of truth, of the Holy Spirit that is always present. And it's just when we have those, you know, moments of when we become aware of it. And so I love how you describe that.
Can I add something real quick?
Yeah, please.
I've been noticing lately that it pops into my head that that guidance feels more and more like the radio station is coming in clearer. Mm. And before it was like, it was coming in, but sometimes it would be like fuzzy, you know, maybe I guess because now I'm learning that it was my judgment that was making it fuzzy sometimes. Mm. And then sometimes it felt like someone my age remembers trying to find the radio station by turning the dial, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then when you find that perfect sweet spot, you're like, oh, okay, don't move the radio. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. But yeah, for me, like it feels like the more I'm relinquishing that judgment, the more that it's that station is coming in loud and clear.
Yeah, that's it. That's awesome, Cheryl. Thank you. I love that judgment is what's making it fuzzy. It's making that white noise come in. Mm, so good. Thank you, Cheryl. Steve.
I'm going to date myself a little bit here. Not only the radio station, but the rabbit ears on the TV. Right? Oh my gosh, this is incredible. You were talking about the flow of love. I woke up this morning with two words that I took away from a dream, I guess, and that was unrelenting love, unrelentless love. What does it mean? But oh my God, I know what it means, but I didn't at the time. So anyway, besides that, I had a really bizarre incident a couple of weeks ago. I've been active in 12-step programs for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And I chair a couple of meetings a week. And part of that responsibility is to, you know, not only get the meeting going, yada, 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 but to just kind of keep some general order, right? So I'm sitting in this meeting and of course I'm running it and there's probably 15, 16 people in the room. And the second guy that thinks to share is a brand new guy on the topic, you know, he's a brand new guy and he stands up, which is kind of out of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And he starts sharing his story and he keeps sharing his story and keeps sharing his story and keeps sharing his story. And I'm looking around going, and I'm seeing people getting anxious and I'm getting anxious and I'm going, okay, how do I deal with this? What do I want to do? I don't want to be a jerk. You know, my ego is just running a mile a minute. And I paused and I don't know what words I said, but I felt my lips flapping and I was praying. I was asking for guidance. I was asking Holy Spirit or Jesus. I don't know who I was. And the next thing I know, there's words coming out of my mouth and I'm looking at this guy and I have no idea what I'm saying, but you know, we're having this little short conversation and, you know, I'm basically asking him to stand down, you know, just relax, you know, there's other people in the room. I don't know how the presentation went, but it came out and we moved on. And so after the meeting, I, you know, I felt kind of bad and I thought, you know, I'm going to go ahead and apologize to this man. And so I walk up to him and, we start chit-chatting, you know, I apologize, says, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but, you know, we had, you know, people, you know, it was a large group. And within about 2 minutes, he looked at me and, or less than that, he says, so will you be my sponsor? And I don't know if you know what that means, but that's where an old timer or somebody who's been around the program will guide a new person through the steps of the program, which is, you know, something that I don't do. I've only done it once in all the years. And so I'm standing there on the spot. And again, I just said, well, okay, Jesus put me in this spot or Spirit put me in this position. So I can't say no. And that was like 3 weeks ago. And oh my God, this relationship that's developing is just unbelievable.
Wow. You know,
it's like everything just is running and running and just parallel, you know, they're just intertwining, I guess. There's an entanglement. I don't know what the word would be, but it's really, really neat. And that just that to ask, you know, for me to be willing to ask my ego to shut the hell up and just open up that, you know, that crack that little with that window just a little bit. And what flowed in was just absolutely amazing. And so, you know, just go with the flow. And I'm just blessed to be sitting here.
Oh, Steve.
To be part of all this and learning how to be a teacher of God. Oh, my goodness. You know, it's like, And then, you know, how can I work the course in, you know, the teachings of the course without teaching the course, you know?
Right.
You know, so I'm just giving up and just going with the flow, and it's lots of fun.
So, I'm getting excited. No. Did you finish? I didn't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm good.
So what a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing. I'm getting all excited because I was just working. So I mentioned at the very beginning of our call that my From Anxiety to Love Masterclass will be launching in October. I've been working on it to meet my September 1st deadline. So it's been really intense. But one of the videos that I have in the class, I'm so proud of these little animations that I did in the video. I'm talking about miracle impulses. So we know from A Course in Miracles that miracle impulses come up from deep within us and they want to rise to the surface to be expressed through us. We distort them. We distort those miracle impulses. That's what the course teaches are sexual impulses. But even more clearly, you know, those expressions of love want to bubble up. And do we all know the game of whack-a-mole? Like the game and arcade when you're like banging on the moles, like every time one pops up, you have to whack it. So I made this animation where there's actually like a club that whacks these cute little cartoon moles. And I have this in the video as I'm talking. And I'm saying that like, we could call it whack-a-mole or we could call it whack a miracle, because what we do is those miracle impulses want to come up, the expressions of love want to bubble up, and we whack them down with our judgment. We are like, nope, I'm not being that person's sponsor because I don't do that anymore. I don't want to deal with people. You know, we the judgment, the self-talk gets in there and it squashes the miracle impulses. And I see this in my life all the time. And I'm sure I've said this before that I can think of a time, I'm positive I've shared this example before, where I'll have the impulse, the loving impulse, the miracle impulse comes up to pick up the phone and to call a difficult family member. But then my head says, oh no, if you call them, you know, they're going to say this, they're going to complain, they're going to do that. And no, better not call. So I'm squashing the miracle impulse. I'm tamping down the mole. I'm playing whack-a-mole or whack a miracle. So your story to be in that position of having this person ask if you would be their sponsor, like perhaps what I'm hearing from you is like, you know, the previous maybe thoughts, like maybe the judgments would have been like, oh no, you know, I don't do that, can't do that, whatever. But you said yes, like you checked in and the answer was yes, even though that may have been surprising. And what a beautiful relationship that's unfolding. That's really cool.
Yeah, it really, really is. And taking it back, you know, a few more steps, you know, is this was his very first meeting. Why did it happen on the night that I was running the show? Why did he, you know, why? It's like, I'm giving up asking why. I'm just going with the flow, you know. There's some things I don't need to understand. So, you know, this is, yeah, I'll have that vision in my head now.
I almost want to share I won't be able to get it up fast enough, but I almost want to show you all that video clip of the animation. Cause I was like playing it for my husband. I'm like, look at this, look what I did. And cause I just the whacking the mole. It's cute, but it's like sad. Like, oh, you don't want to hurt the mole. Like you don't want to hurt the miracle. So let those miracles flow. Awesome story, Steve. Thank you so much. Were you going to add something? I saw you come off mute for a sec. No. Okay. Oh, wow. Awesome. Anybody else want to share? All right, let's keep reading. So flipping the page, we're in the next section, how is judgment relinquished? So we know judgment blocks guidance. We know judgment blocks those miracle impulses and blocks our ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. How do we relinquish judgment? Let's read. 10, how is judgment relinquished? Judgment, like the other devices by which the world of illusions is maintained, is totally misunderstood by the world. It is actually confused with wisdom and substitutes for truth. As the world uses the term, an individual is capable of good and bad judgment, and his education aims at strengthening the former and minimizing the latter. There is, however, considerable confusion about what these categories mean. What is, quote, good judgment to one is bad judgment to another. Further, even the same person classifies the same action as showing good judgment at one time and bad judgment at another. Nor can any consistent criteria for determining what these categories are be really taught. At any time, the student may disagree with what his would-be teacher says about them, and the teacher himself is inconsistent in what he believes. I'm going to read the second paragraph. Quote, good judgment in these terms does not mean anything. No more does bad. It is necessary for the teacher of God to realize not that he should not judge, but that he cannot. In giving up judgment, he merely gives up what he did not have. He gives up an illusion, or better, he has an illusion of giving up. He has actually merely become more honest. Recognizing that judgment was always impossible for him, he no longer attempts it. This is no sacrifice. On the contrary, he puts himself in a position where judgment through him, rather than by him, can occur. And this judgment is neither good nor bad. It is the only judgment there is, and it is only one. God's Son is guiltless, and sin does not exist. And I'll pause there. Maybe I love reading these teachings about judgment so much because I judge so much. So it's just so refreshing. I love in this first paragraph just how it says that as the world teaches, there is good and bad judgment. We are taught to have good judgment and avoid bad judgment. And yet at the same time, those change meaning constantly. One time we might say something was good judgment, then the exact same situation might at a later time be labeled bad judgment. There's no consistent criteria here. So it goes on to say in the second paragraph that it's necessary for each of us to realize not that we should not judge, but that we cannot judge. And we're going to be reading more about this somewhere in this section that talks about like how, you know, can you know all the ins and outs of any situation? We can't. The Holy Spirit can, though. So it's not that we should not judge, it's that we cannot judge. And by giving up judgment, we're giving up what we never had. So we're giving up an illusion. And in doing so, we're really becoming more honest because we're realizing and recognizing that judgment has always been impossible for us. We could never see the big picture in our limited egoic perception. And it's not a sacrifice. So now, if we are relinquishing judgment, if we are releasing judgment, we're now putting ourselves in a position where judgment of the Holy Spirit can come through us. So it's not judgment from us, but it's through us. And this judgment is that the Son of God is guiltless. Sin does not exist. This judgment is about dropping beneath the form, dropping beneath the appearance, and seeing that truth, joining with that truth, recognizing that no matter what seems to be happening in form, truth has not changed. Eternity has not changed. Now, I want to just juxtapose this for a second against what we just read in the previous section about giving up perceptual mistakes, where it says, you know, we're given a slowly evolving training program in which as many previous perceptual mistakes as possible are corrected. In my experience, if somebody is mistreating me in a way that is hurting me, for me to go straight to seeing the truth in them, that's great. That's what we're asked to do. And at the same time, there may be a lesson in that experience for me that will help me and maybe the other person to correct those previous, where did it go? Previous perceptual mistakes. So it's almost like we engage in our relationships with an awareness of the truth, this deepest level of the Holy Spirit's judgment, which is that the other, our brothers are guiltless. We are guiltless. We are holy, innocent, and so is our brother. While going through our lessons and learning and allowing our previous perceptual mistakes to be corrected, which might come through setting a boundary, which might come through saying no, or whatever it is that, you know, we feel prompted in our specifics of our specific curriculum. So that's how that works for me in my experience. It doesn't, working something out in the level of form is not in place of seeing the truth of our brother, seeing the guiltlessness of our brother, and knowing, coming to know that guiltlessness in ourselves. It's like they're simultaneous almost. And that again, that working out of an issue in form is that layer of that, you know, correcting previous perceptual mistakes and those dark cornerstones of unforgiveness. So I just wanted to share that. Comments or questions so far?
I got a question.
Yes.
How does that relate to self-judgment? How do we apply all this to self-judgment?
So the teaching that immediately comes up, and because we've talked about this before, and actually, again, I was just building this into my masterclass, is that, like, the course says that, I'm tempted to try to find it, but it's that quote that some of your greatest advances you've judged as failures, and some of your greatest, you know, steps backward, you think that you've done this amazing job. So we aren't capable of judging our own progress. We can't, you know, judge ourselves. It's the ego will absolutely have a field day with self-judgment, but the Holy Spirit's judgment, the only real judgment of ourselves, is also that we are guiltless and sin does not exist. You know, we've made mistakes, but again, it doesn't change the truth. We are guiltless just as our brother, and sin does not exist in us either. That's what came up. Cool. Good question. Somebody has something to share. I feel it. Who is it? We're good so far. All righty. Let's keep reading then. Paragraph number 3. The aim of our curriculum, unlike the goal of the world's learning, is the recognition that judgment in the usual sense is impossible. This is not an opinion, but a fact. In order to judge anything rightly, one would have to be fully aware of an inconceivably wide range of things, past, present, and to come. One would have to recognize in advance all the effects of his judgments on everyone and everything involved in them in any way. And one would have to be certain there is no distortion in his perception, so that his judgment would be wholly fair to everyone on whom it rests now and in the future. Who is in a position to do this? Who, except in grandiose fantasies, would claim this for himself? I'm going to read the next paragraph. Remember how many times you thought you knew all the facts you needed for judgment and how wrong you were. Is there anyone who has not had this experience? Would you know how many times you merely thought you were right without ever realizing you were wrong? Why would you choose such an arbitrary basis for decision-making? Wisdom is not judgment. It is the relinquishment of judgment. Make then but one more judgment. It is this. There is someone with a capital S. There is someone with you whose judgment is perfect. He does know all the facts, past, present, and to come. He does know all the effects of his judgment on everyone and everything involved in any way. And he is wholly fair to everyone, for there is no distortion in his perception. I'm going for one more paragraph. Let's do it. Therefore, lay judgment down, not with regret, but with a sigh of gratitude. Now are you free of a burden so great that you could merely stagger and fall down beneath it. And it was all illusion, nothing more. Now can the teacher of God rise up unburdened and walk lightly on. Yet it is not only this that is his benefit. His sense of care is gone, for he has none. He has given it away along with judgment. He has given himself to him whose judgment he has chosen now to trust instead of his own. Now he makes no mistakes. His guide is sure. And where he came to judge, he comes to bless. Where now he laughs, he used to come to weep. And we'll pause here. We'll save the last paragraph. Oh, so in these paragraphs we just read, again, it's setting the stage. How can we possibly, to judge rightly, we would have to be fully aware of an inconceivably wide range of things, past, present, future. We'd have to recognize in advance all the effects of judgment on everything and everyone, have no distortion in our perception. None of us can do this. But then it says, I love how it says, how many times, you know, did you think that you knew all the facts and how wrong were you? I know we can all relate to that. The sentence, wisdom is not judgment, it is the relinquishment of judgment, because there's someone with you, the Holy Spirit, whose judgment is perfect. The Holy Spirit does know all facts, past, present, and to come, all the effects, and the Holy Spirit has no distortion in his perception. So we can lay judgment down. You know, I don't see the word for in what we've read so far, but it's like the Holy Spirit judges for us. We can't judge. And the Holy Spirit, we place the Holy Spirit in charge of that, letting the Holy Spirit judge for us. And so, yay. Now, where we came to judge, we come to bless. We now laugh where we used to come to weep. That's beautiful. Cheryl, I see your hands.
I just wanted to say yes, please.
Yes, to, please.
To all of that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sold. Because that all sounds wonderful to me.
Doesn't it? It really does. And so then, like, yeah, it sounds so good. I feel like so lifted up by these words. And then, you know, we can think of our particular circumstances, our particular lessons, and it's like, okay, here's where I'm asked, like, this is where the rubber hits the road, you know, our particular lessons, like, here's where I'm asked to relinquish judgment. And we, again, don't have to do it. We call on the Holy Spirit. That's our small part. Our small part is to make the Holy Spirit a habit. And doing that just as best we can. Thank you for that, Cheryl. I'm with you. I'm joined with you. This all sounds really good. Comments or questions? Insights? Any sentences that stand out to anybody? Paula?
Sometimes I'm curious about how the Holy Spirit actually works, because I had company today and a family, and I was just going so great and we were having a good time, but we got into a discussion about a person in the family, and it was really getting hot and heavy, and this person's behavior is so off the wall sometimes. There's just a lot of concern. Working with the new beginning, I'm very aware of judgment, so I'm not making any judgments about the situation. But I could see it was just getting uncomfortable. And for just a second, I thought, Holy Spirit, would you shift this? Would you change this? And it did. It just changed. and it all stopped. And we were eating ice cream and we got back on a really good vibe. And they just got a new kitten that is the cutest thing in the world. As a matter of fact, I even said, you know, when you're thinking about this situation, look at that kitten, because you just can't stay crazy. You know, you can't stay in that mood and look at this adorable kitten. I just thought, how does that happen? That things can just miraculously change.
Our minds are joined, right? And the Holy Spirit being the voice for God is in every single one of us. So you had like a Helen and Bill moment. There's got to be a better way. Like, this isn't working. You know, there's got to be a better way. And on some level, I think your other relatives met you there. Like, they, at the same time, everybody's like, this isn't, there's got to be another way. And so the whole energy, the whole conversation shifted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It's like a Helen and Bill moment.
Beautiful. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Roy. Hi, Roy.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hey. So everything that happens in your life is a program. Every person that comes into your presence is showing you your programs. So be thankful for that, because it's bringing an awareness to the judgments. Now, part of me finds that personally insulting, right? Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I had that judgment in me. I didn't know I had that anger in me. I didn't know that I had this sense of unworthiness in me. But if you cannot address that, if you're not able to look at that with the Holy Spirit and with compassionate awareness, then it stays hidden, right? And when it stays hidden, we get sick, because we're only as sick as our grievances and our secrets. So be thankful for the people that come into our lives that irk us, that scream at us, that, you know, we may experience body issues like I have been recently, but everything is engineered and orchestrated to show you where your judgments are, so that you have this ability, so that you have this, you know, this quantum responsibility where you can release the judgments. And when you're empty of those judgments, then the right solution can come, the right people can come into your life, and to be able to trust that. Now, that again is personally insulting to the ego, because the ego is all about, my judgment is what makes me strong. My judgment is my salvation. Right? So the reason why I attack someone, or the reason why I judge myself, is because there's a dark cornerstone of unforgiveness in my mind that I'm unworthy of love, or someone else is unworthy of love, or something out there can take away my peace of mind. So I need to be aware of that so that I can actually relinquish it. Right? So that's why things happen in our lives, and there are no accidents, because if there was haphazardness or if there's an accident, that would mean that God is a victim of circumstances. And that's the complete opposite of what the Course teaches us. Now, in the ego's thought, delusional thought system, everything, judgment is completely logical, right? Because its whole worldview is that there is a you and there is a me and there is an others, and that we are different and we have separate interest and we have conflicting wishes and double purposes. That's the ego's world, and that's why we see a world of conflict out there, because of the belief that is in our mind. So thank you for bringing that person into my life to show me what I need to change within myself, which is essentially just to change my mind and all the perceptual mistakes, and to really see why I'm getting so much juice out of judging something or someone. Like this morning, I was waking up with some pain in my body, and I was going like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, I'm judging, am I doing this wrong? Am I da da da? And it's just like, it's this whole download of just judgment after judgment that just seems like I'm just entangled in it. And I just couldn't have any peace of mind about it. But I says, okay, I'm just gonna listen to all the judgments and just delete, 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 delete. I was just going in my mind, delete, 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 delete. And I started to feel myself getting more and more peaceful. And I started to see that everything that I'm experiencing in terms of pain is a judgment, is a memory, and I'm afraid of it. And the reason why I'm afraid of it is because I'm judging it. So the attack and the condemnation and the guilt are actually one thing. I've just kind of, you know, seen myself like I don't want to be, I'm separate from pain. So I want to push myself away from it. But that's what the judgment of that actually reinforces the pain and the suffering. So I'm very, very thankful for the experience this morning because it was a doozy. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm feeling all of this energy coming up. And I was just running, my mind was just running at miles, you know, per second. I couldn't get a grasp of what was happening. I said, slow down. All right, let me listen to one judgment at a time. Slow it down. And I really had to step into that observer's seat of witness and says, you know, Holy Spirit, I say, God, look at this with me. And it says, okay, that's a judgment that I'm unworthy of love. Okay, then I will start to deconstruct it because I have a mind that's very analytical and I need to be able to see things clearly before I let them go. So that was a really powerful experience for me this morning. It's like, wow, everything that I'm experiencing in terms of woe and suffering and problems are really just judgments, right? It's judgments that I'm unworthy. And all judgments are self-judgments, coming back to Steve's point. Whether I think I'm judging another person, that I'm actually feeling the judgment. I'm actually the one suffering the consequence of believing in that judgment. So I thought I'd just throw that out today, everyone, just to give you perhaps another perspective or just to recontextualize your experience that everyone that comes into your life is showing you something. It's showing you something that will set you free. So if you can see that as a holy encounter, wow, that just repurposes everything. And there can be a lot of joy in your learning as opposed to like, oh, why is this happening to me again? Why am I suffering this again? These are all self-judgments and memories replaying themselves over and over again. And the ego is really gotten really good at it. So we've become very practiced in those addictive and compulsive thoughts and actions. So just hopefully that will be helpful to everyone.
Awesome, Roy. Thank you so much. That was really helpful. Paula, were you going to respond really quick?
I love what he just said. Delete, delete, delete. Mm-hmm. For me, that's a little, that has a technical edge to it. But I, same thing, Roy, I woke up in the middle of the night, just screwed up. And I took the rosary beads and just so I would have something to count with. And I just kept saying, I want the peace of God. I want the peace of God. I want the peace of God. Within a very short time, I was back to sleep. Mm-hmm. When I woke up in the morning, I felt great. There, you know, that, and that's delete. That's deleting the judgments, the negativity.
Oh, what a great example, Paula.
But when you say you want the peace of God, you got to really mean it. It's no joke. And I really wanted the peace of God.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Roy. That was so super helpful. You know, before we have one more paragraph to read, I'll just say, Roy, when you speak about the programs, I love that. And, you know, you're describing like with everybody showing up, showing us our programs, these are our most difficult relationships, you know, like the Course says, a holy relationship might be one of your most difficult lifelong relationships. And so that person is not in your life by accident, not at all. So all right, let's read the last.
And that includes our parents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm thinking specifically.
Seriously. Yeah. Okay. I just thought I'd throw that in for humor.
Thank you, Roy. Oh, all right. Last paragraph. It is not difficult to relinquish judgment, but it is difficult indeed to try to keep it. The teacher of God lays it down happily the instant he recognizes its cost. All of the ugliness he sees about him is its outcome. Oh, can we read that one more time? The teacher of God lays judgment down happily the instant he recognizes its cost. All of the ugliness he sees about him is its outcome. I want to read that like 10 times. All of the ugliness he sees about him is its outcome. All of the pain he looks upon is its result. All of the loneliness and sense of loss, of passing time and growing hopelessness, of sickening despair and fear of death, all these have come of it. And now he knows that these things need not be. Not one is true, for he has given up their cause, and they, which never were but the effects of his mistaken choice, have fallen from him. Teacher of God, this step will bring you peace. Can it be difficult to want but this? I am joined with each of you in relinquishing judgment. Our judgment, as this paragraph says, all of the ugliness we see is our judgment's outcome. All of the pain we look upon is our judgment's result. All of the loneliness and sense of loss, of passing time, growing hopelessness, sickening despair, and fear of death, all of these have come of our judgment. So let's happily lay that down, joined hand in hand and joined with the Holy Spirit, being willing to relinquish judgment. We don't want what it brings for us, nor do we want what it would bring for anything else. So, deep breath. We are willing to release it. And what an awesome two sections. I love these sections. This holy instant of salvation come. Yes, thank you for that, John. Oh, and Terry, thank you for that quote too. I'm just looking at the chat now. All right. All good? Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I love you all. Have a great week, and I'll see you next week on Sunday. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you all. Bye-bye. Love you.